Welcome to the Buddha Sasana Podcast. This talk was given by Bhikkhu Chintita in Austin, Texas.
I hope everyone is well and safe. Welcome back to our podcast series, Mindfulness Where Dharma Meets Practice. This is the 9th of 11 talks in the series and the 3rd and final talk on the topic of living in wisdom. Last week, we looked at 3 models for understanding the world of experience. We looked at the aggregates, which serve to highlight the role of cognition in what we otherwise tend to take as a fixed, objective world. We then looked at the sixfold sphere, which serves to highlight the role of the senses in the same. The aggregates and the sixfold sphere each frame our world in a way to bring out awareness of its fabricated nature. We looked finally at the world as a network of contingency or dependent co-arising that allows us to trace where we get ourselves into trouble as we make the world we have to live in. For the Buddha, understanding the nature and origin of the human pathology is our best means of resolving this pathology. This is wisdom. It begins with studying Dharma, continues with detailed observation of our own lived phenomenal experience, and is consummated with internalizing a deep intuitive grasp of our world. We have tools for accomplishing this, and this brings us back to mindfulness and practice. The art of investigation. The 7 factors of awakening are the following causal sequence describing a process that produces insight. 1, mindfulness. 2, investigation of phenomena. 3, energy. 4, delight. 5, tranquility. 6, mental composure. And 7, equanimity. Think of these factors as proceeding from one to the next to the next. The first 3 of these factors, mindfulness, investigation of phenomena, and energy, correspond to mindful observation described in a very early podcast. Recall that mindful observation is what we do in the foundations of mindfulness practice, the heart of insight meditation. Mindfulness is the entry point of Dharma into this process. Investigation is observation itself, along with clear comprehension of the phenomenal world. Energy is ardency and non-distraction. The second factor, investigation of phenomena, corresponds specifically to the 4th practice of mindful observation, that is, observing phenomena in phenomena, the practice most focused on internalizing the Dharma. We note further that we began investigation of phenomena in the development of purity a few weeks ago. What we report here extends the practice to our conceptualization of the world. In either case, we begin by selecting a topic of Dharma and let mindfulness of that topic attend to phenomena as they arise that illustrate that topic of Dharma. Dharma thereby drives our interpretation of phenomena arising in experience. In this way, we deepen our ability to fully comprehend that experience. Topics for investigation listed in the Pali text include the 5 hindrances, the 5 aggregates, the sixfold sphere, the seven awakening factors, which we're in the middle of discussing, and the Four Noble Truths. It's clear that the scope of investigation is quite extensive, encompassing all aspects of the phenomenal world touched on by the Dharma, such as those around the 12 links in the chain of dependent co-arising. The next three factors of awakening, delight, tranquility, and mental composure, form a series that should by now be familiar to the reader. It is the natural progression of factors that arise when we are mindfully inhabiting a wholesome practice task with undistracted mind. The next three factors of awakening, delight, tranquility, and mental composure, form a series that should by now be familiar to the listener. It's the natural progression of factors that arise when we're mindfully inhabiting a wholesome practice task with undistracted mind. We've seen this series arise in the practice of virtue and also in the practice of devotion. The final factor, equanimity, is characteristic of the highest stage of mental composure. This is a state of impartiality beyond like and dislike, which is particularly conducive to wisdom and ultimately to awakening. At this juncture, we need to say more about mental composure and about how it is used in investigation. In Buddhism, we can distinguish three primary functions of right mental composure. One is pleasurable abiding, two is mental attenuation, and three is clarity. Pleasurable abiding is a karmic fruit that we enjoy when we are engaged in wholesome practice. The other two factors are involved in gaining wisdom. Mental attenuation, which is my term for it, occurs as we enter greater levels of mental composure. Mental composure progresses through four levels: the first, second, third, and fourth meditations, also known as jhanas, are four progressive stages of greater mental composure. Equanimity actually corresponds to the fourth meditation. Each meditation proceeds from the previous meditation by losing its most energetic factor or factors. Briefly, the first meditation returns all of the awakening factors prior to mental composure and also still permits discursive thought in the process of investigation. The second meditation loses the capacity of discursive thought, such that the Buddha has called it noble silence, although examination continues at a receptive level through all of the meditations. The third meditation loses the excitement of delight, settling into simple, contented pleasure. The fourth meditation loses even this. As we enter deeper meditation, certain mental faculties are attenuated or cease altogether. For instance, perception or conceptualization, and our experiential world, including the world out there, shifts markedly. Attenuation allows us to explore from a different angle the dependence of all phenomena on mind and thereby gain a better sense of the fabricated nature of the world. We can even steer this process into higher realizations to see reality as infinite space, infinite consciousness, or voidness. Higher levels of mental composure also provide clarity, that is, more immediacy of vision as we continue the process of investigation in a decreasingly conceptually laden context. Just as if there were a pool of water in a mountain glen, clear, limpid, and unsullied, or a man with good eyesight standing on the bank could see shells, gravel, and pebbles, and also shoals of fish swimming about and resting. In the same way, with his mind thus composed, purified and bright, unblemished, free from defects, pliant, malleable, steady, and attained to imperturbability, the monk directs and inclines it to the knowledge of the ending of the mental fermentations, which are basic unskillful qualities. By establishing mindfulness with regard to key experiential factors, we can fully internalize the teachings about these factors to the point that they become part of our perceptual apparatus. Our right understanding is honed, polished, fine-tuned, and distilled until we begin to behold the phenomenal world through the very eyes of the Buddha. The result is to see things as they really are. Once we see things as they really are, and we see how we fabricate our world, and thereby our own suffering, we begin to drop our attachments like hot fritters, and this leads to our liberation. Knowledge, vision, and liberation. Most of the knowledge a master potter possesses has come from actually working with the clay and is found in his fingers, not in his head. Or consider the knowledge we put to use in riding a bicycle, for which we're initially told to go forward, turn the pedals in that direction, to turn right, move the handlebars in this direction. But then we learn to maintain our balance and so on inexplicably by feel. This is the result of practice rather than thinking about it. Buddhist practice is also like this. The role of right understanding becomes refined as intimacy grows with our own experience. It's gradually replaced or supplanted by a feel for the workings of the mind. This deeper knowledge, also known as wisdom, lies for the most part beyond the limits of conceptual understanding and will unfold with the experience of practice. Knowledge and vision of things as they really are is a clear, immediate, and intuitive right understanding of the phenomenal world, which minimizes delusive fabrication. In fact, it would seem that such perception is the farthest extent of mindful observation, since it involves bringing past experience to bear on the interpretation of present phenomena in a spontaneous way. As this learning process concludes, we begin, as it has been said, to think with the teachings rather than about them, or to see with the Buddha's spectacles. At this point, we can be said to live fully in wisdom and give this talk its title. We live in a world of nature without artifice. There can be no striving because there is no me for whose advantage it might strive. There is only nature. If we put our hand on a hot stove, we're not likely to repeat that experience. Samsara is too hot to handle, but most of us fail to see in the dark kitchen where it is exactly that we're putting our hand when we feel the pain. As a result, we repeat that experience and have been doing so from beginningless time. When we know and see things as they really are, then we see where the pain is coming from, and this starts a process of disenchantment and dispassion. Ignorance comes to an end and we let go. When we let go of everything, this is liberation. With the end of ignorance, the entire chain of dependent co-arising ceases, including craving and thereby suffering, and including birth or rebirth. This is awakening. Seeing thus, a well-taught noble disciple becomes disenchanted with form, disenchanted with feeling, disenchanted with perception, disenchanted with formations, disenchanted with consciousness. Being disenchanted, he becomes dispassionate. Through dispassion, his mind is liberated. When it's liberated, there comes the knowledge, it is liberated. He understands birth is destroyed. The holy life has been lived. What had to be done has been done. There is no more coming to any state of becoming.
Further resources related to this course, Mindfulness, Where Dharma Meets Practice, are available at Sitagu, that is Sitagu, sitagu.org/shortlinks/mindful.